Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. If you need encouragement in the battle, strength to carry on, wisdom to understand what's happening to you and around you, and insight on your future success, then this teaching is for you.
Isaiah 45, verse 19. Isaiah 45, 19, honey, and the Classic Amplified Bible offers seven amazing promises.
Yes, it does.
I have not spoken in secret. In a corner of the land of darkness, I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing. But I promised them a just reward. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words. I declare things that are right.
Hallelujah. You know, honey, we're convinced beyond any doubt. God wants, he wants us to see, understand, and expect the manifestation of the seven promises in that verse. He wants us to expect the manifestation of that in our lives right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now. First, God makes no secret about the kind of life he wants us to have. The enemy of our success will try to deceive us into believing where we are and what we have is all there'll ever be. It is a lie from the father of lies.
That's right. Listen to 3 John 2. You've listened to it before, but listen to it in this context. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
You know, God's plan is very clear. However, we determine by the decisions we make, the actions we take.
And you notice that scripture says that we may prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. As we prosper, God is prospering us. That's why he gave us the word.
That's right. Second, God called us to produce fruit with our lives. As we move out of our comfort zone, becoming productive for the kingdom, God will make us prosperous in all our hands find to do.
Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 says, and the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, of your cattle, and of your land. For good. For the Lord will again delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers.
Honey, and I'm thinking about that, and I want to tell you, it just makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When I read how the Lord delights in prospering us, and see, not just anybody, but he wants to prosper me, you, everybody hearing our voices, he wants us to be abundantly prosperous.
There is no asterisk that says it does not apply to you.
That's exactly right. We must be productive. What we do must be making a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those we come in contact with.
John 15, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
When we're productive in the kingdom, God will give us whatever we ask of him. What an offer. I mean, person have to be a hamburger short of a happy meal not to take advantage of this life-changing offer. Glory. Third, when we seek him, things happen.
Hallelujah.
Probably 4 or 5 years ago, God gave me 7 words that when applied, changes lives forever. Those words, if you listen on a regular basis, you know. Those words are, read your Bible, do what it says.
Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14 in the Message Bible. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity.
Hallelujah.
That is marvelous.
Too often, when we face adversity, we talk to, share our problems with people who can only listen. Maybe even give good advice. But otherwise, we do nothing to solve our problem or bring any sort of relief into the middle of the adversity we're facing. We talked to the banker when we can't make payments, asking him to fix or delay our problems. When God can supernaturally eliminate our debts, see, we want to be talking to God. We talked to a counselor about problems in our marriage. When God can heal the brokenhearted and restore what the enemy has tried to tear asunder.
Matthew 21, verse 22 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, and whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive.
Glory. Fourth, we got a reward coming. At various times in our lives, we may have been rewarded by a parent for good behavior, a teacher for making good grades, a coach for having a great game, an employer for doing a job well. But we can't even begin to imagine the kind of rewards coming to us for our obedience to God's direction. God owes no one, but you will receive your reward.
Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for rewarder is G3406. G3406, it means one who pays wages, a rewarder. He is the one. God is the one who pays wages to them that diligently seek him. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of it.
Jeremiah 17, verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve.
What are your due rewards? What are your due rewards for diligently seeking the Lord? You're going to get paid for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fifth, walk in righteousness.
This is all based on our first scripture.
Yep. There's a powerful life-changing truth found in 1 Peter 2:24.
1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, Who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Wow. Wow. The key to this verse and life is four words. Should live unto righteousness. Righteousness in Strong's Concordance, the Greek word, G1343, and here's what it means. In a broad sense, state of him who is as he ought to be, righteousness, the condition acceptable to God, integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, and listen to this last part, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting.
Every time we apply the word, we get closer to correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting.
Honey, when I saw that definition, what jumped out at me is righteousness is a state of him who is as he ought to be. What ought we to be? We ought to be dead to sin so we can have correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Sin is what keeps us from thinking right, feeling right, acting right, living right. The purpose of sin is to separate us from the love of, well, the love that God has for us. That's why we must walk in righteousness if we want to receive his reward. 6, our faithfulness to God produces great rewards. See, God is not looking for below average or even average stewards. He's looking for believers who understand and practice faithfulness, integrity, and excellence.
Matthew 25, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. Now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful.
No doubt about it. God is looking for faithfulness in his stewards. It's his criteria for being an effective steward.
Amen. In Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15, he explains about it. Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15 says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey.
What we have at the moment is what God thinks we can handle. But as we prove ourselves faithful, we will be given more and more. 7, God is going to make all things right.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, verse 7 in the New Living Translation. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours.
Hallelujah. Child of God, you're not just going to receive the land, your inheritance. You're going to get a double portion of prosperity with joy.
With joy. Mm.
When we follow the principles of Isaiah 45:19, not only will we be rewarded, blessed, and prospered, God is going to turn our sorrow into joy. Now, that's what we call a great reward.
Amen.
A double dose of prosperity and the joy that comes with it.
Shall we read our main scripture again?
Sure.
So we can get the main essence of what it is that we have been teaching today. This is what to claim, Isaiah 45, verse 19. This is the 7 amazing promises he makes. And this is in the Classic Amplified Bible. I have not spoken in secret. Hallelujah. In a corner of the land of darkness, I did not call the descendants of Jacob, that would be us, to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing. But I promised them a just reward. He has promised us a just reward.
Yes, he has.
I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words. Oh, we could teach a sermon on that.
We could.
I declare things that are right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, child of God, go to heraldheron.com up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. So whatever ask. And make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.